Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Adam McManus from theworldview.com with me on this edition of the program. Today, commemorating the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church this weekend. And Adam is our host of the Worldview broadcast each and every day, in which he covers the persecution stories practically every day. In fact, that headlines most of our newscasts. Adam, what are you reading? What's happening? Are people getting killed? Is this something that happens every single day? Pakistan, Nigeria, China, you're covering these stories.
I am. It's very serious indeed. 340 million Christians today are experiencing high levels of persecution and discrimination. Last year, 4,761 Christians were killed for their faith in Christ. Another 4,277 Christians worldwide were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned. And finally, 4,488 churches and Christian buildings were attacked. All of this according to data from the World Watch List of Open Doors. Folks can learn more at the website opendoorsusa.org. That's opendoorsusa.org. I'm grateful that the World Evangelical Alliance started this day of prayer for the persecuted Christians back in 1996. Some specific examples I think are helpful. Masked men in Nigeria carrying assault weapons had abducted Naomi and her daughter Ruth from their home in the middle of the night. Judging by the brutality of their abductors, Naomi was sure they were members of Boko Haram, a militant Muslim group trying to take over territory in northern Nigeria and expel all Christians. Boko Haram wants to create a pure Islamic state based on ultra-strict principles. They've attacked government institutions and even mosques that they deem to be too liberal. Naomi knew that Christians were a primary target of Boko Haram, and she'd heard repeated stories of how they had entered Christian villages and killed everyone. She was afraid that she and her daughter Ruth were next. The kidnappers had marched them for hours through the bush until they reached their camp. Then they had raped both Naomi and Ruth. Now their kidnappers were demanding that they convert to Islam. Hundreds of women have been abducted by Boko Haram, Kevin, during their four-year insurgency in Nigeria. Some have been sold as slaves to generate income for the group, while others have been kept as wives and servants. Some have been able to return to their homes months after their abduction, often pregnant or having already born a child. Voice of the Martyrs is working with several girls who escaped from Boko Haram. They are receiving vocational training and other support as they work through the trauma and the stigma of abuse. When the girls return to their communities, unfortunately, it's often difficult for them to find a spouse and the economic stability that accompanies marriage. Thankfully, Naomi and Ruth did not have to wait months for their nightmare to end. After about 2 weeks, some of the Boko Haram wives helped them escape. In North Korea, Somalia, Eritrea, Iran, they can be imprisoned for their faith, killed on the spot. Sometimes in North Korea, just for having a Bible, reading a Bible, you can be imprisoned for a lifetime. In India, radical Hindus who see the growth of Christianity as a threat to their national identity are constantly harassing Christians, using this law against Christian evangelization as the reason to kick them out of their homes, imprison them, persecute them, physically attack them. Cuba and China, communist countries, are increasingly becoming emboldened toward Christians. In Cuba, for example, they're imprisoning people for just in the last summer for taking to the streets and indicating their right for freedom of speech and freedom of religion. In China, whole concentration camps, re-education camps have been set up, not for Christians per se, but for the Uyghur Muslims. Christians are being forced at every level in China to incorporate almost an adoration for the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, which of course is synchronism, and it's something that Christians are rejecting at the point of being imprisoned or even killed in China. So wherever you turn, there are examples of hostility to the faith of Christ.
I think the worst possible place on earth in terms of the numbers of Christians killed, probably Nigeria at this point, with thousands killed by these wayfaring Muslim mobs. And, of course, India has gotten worse and worse, with hundreds if not thousands of Christians being disturbed, their houses burned down, their churches burned down. There have been stories of Christian pastors martyred, killed on the spot by some of these Hindu mobs. And, of course, China is upping its persecution. Not that we know of that many martyrs, if there are any at this point, but we do know that there are many being imprisoned, like Pastor Wang Yi and other leaders amongst the house church movement in China. North Korea is probably the worst of the worst, as you mentioned. Also, there's been a rising persecution in America, in Canada, New Zealand. I've got this note from a pastor in New Zealand. Prime Minister there just announced a plan in which each region would be held down in lockdown until they get 90% vaccination rate, which is pretty high. There's not very many states in America that are achieving 90%. I don't think any of the states have achieved 90% at this point. But they also require that churches use vaccine passports or have strict limits. So a church of 400, for example, would be limited to an attendance of 50. So this kind of thing has been a massive disturbance for the church in New Zealand. And so, you know, I would say that persecution is increasing all around the globe, to Western nations as well as to communist nations and Muslim nations and those nations that are afflicted by anarchical mobs.
I'm so glad that you mentioned Canada in particular related to the COVID shutdowns and regulations that are obvious overreaches. Most recently, we reported on Pastor Tobias Thiessen of the Church of God Restoration, who dared to have more than five people, not indoors in his church building, mind you, but outside. He had more than five people gathered outside to praise God, to bring the scriptures to life in teaching, and to, of course, have communion. He was arrested in front of his brother and mother. His mother was set to fly out the next day to Austria for an indeterminate period of time. The police would not even allow this faithful pastor, who looked like he was about 30, to hug his mother, who was about to fly out the next morning to Austria. I mean, it's just become so silly and so ridiculous. And I think there is something to be said about the closer the persecution gets to us in America and Canada, the more our eyes are open to how tremendously painful our brothers and sisters' persecution is and should be in our hearts overseas. It seemed at one point far away in a distant reality, but now it's coming to our shores through the COVID mandates and shutdowns and violations against the church. Hopefully it's going to wake us up.
Well, we've seen a steady rise of martyr counts just over the last 10 years or so, since 2012. Of course, there are different metrics by which these organizations will count martyrs. Some are caught up in genocides and other things, political civil wars and such, in which hundreds of thousands are killed. So it's sometimes hard to know how many are true martyrdoms, true Christian martyrdoms. But according to some metrics, there are 1,201 Christians killed in 2012, 2,123 killed in 2013, 2,983 killed in 2019, and in 2021, 4,761 Christians killed for their faith, meaning there's been something of a steady rise of martyr counts in places like India, Nigeria, Pakistan, and elsewhere around the world. So this has been something of a concern. Certainly it's affecting the Muslim countries, the African nations. Now, the seed of the church forms around the blood of the martyrs, and we've been saying that for a very long time, ever since the first martyrdoms that occurred in the Roman Empire in the first several centuries of the church. The great martyrdoms in the Netherlands in the 1500s, Scotland in the 1600s, led to an on-fire missionary movement and strong Reformation faith that spread around the world throughout the 1700s and 1800s. So thanks be to God for the great martyrdoms suffered in the Netherlands and Scotland in the Reformation period. And then on into the 19th and 20th centuries, in which China saw massive persecutions. The Boxer Rebellion of 1898 yielded some 200,000 martyrs, Christians and foreigners were killed in the Boxer Rebellion, and that, of course, was a reaction to the rising missionary movement in China. One of the most important developments of the Christian Church in 2,000 years occurred in China, following Hudson Taylor in the 1860s, 70s, on into the 20th century. Of course, the pushback on the part of the Dragon was inevitable, and then that led to the communist persecutions of the 1950s, 1960s, in which another 700,000 Christians were killed in communist China, but that led to an even greater increase in the Christians in China. Some estimates put it at 90 million, some a little higher, but certainly orders of magnitude more Christians now in China than there were prior to the Boxer Rebellion of 1898. And then there were hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, killed by the Soviets in the 20th century as well, leading to a reformation, what we believe to be a reformation in the Ukraine and Russia occurring right now. So these persecutions are of some purpose, and certainly Jesus Christ is head of all things to the church, and we can count on him providing a good atmosphere in which the church will grow, and the church tends to grow through the fire of trial. So we're certainly seeing this in this century as well as the last century, and we hope to see these persecutions going on in India, in Northern Africa, and Muslim countries leading to a great increase of the church in these far-off regions of the world. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast as we commemorate the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church this weekend. Adam McManus from theworldview.com, who reports on these stories on almost a daily basis. We prioritize these stories only because we believe that this is the most significant thing happening in the world from a Christian world and life view perspective. That is, if Jesus was concerned about certain things going on in the world, certainly would be the persecution that is afflicted upon the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, the Cato Institute, which by the way is not a Christian organization, I believe it's more of a libertarian think tank, came out with a story, I'm going to say last year in 2020, outlining the persecution that's going on around the world and comparing various religions, and I thought this was interesting. They listed 20 of the most hateful nations in the world: India, Iraq, Syria, Nigeria, Libya, Egypt, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Somalia, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Yemen, Kenya, etc., etc. 14 were Muslim-majority nations. One was Buddhist, another was Hindu. Two others were Christian, but directly affected by violent Islamic militias and terrorists. So those were the nations listed, at least in the Cato Institute survey. Now, I noticed that North Korea was not listed amongst these nations, so perhaps they missed a few. But what was interesting also in this report was they compared the number of nations that are persecuting certain religions, Christians being the most persecuted religion in the world, facing harassment in, get this, 145 countries, only about 210 countries in the world. So that would be, what, about 75% of the nations of the world are persecuting Christians. That's not very good. Islam came in second at 139 countries. And Islam is both the perpetrator and victim, with Sunnis and Shiites routinely targeting each other, along with Christians and members of other minority faiths. Judaism trails at 88 countries. So Christians, the most persecuted religion in the world. Does that surprise you, Adam?
It doesn't. And I would strongly recommend that our generation's listeners take the time to go to the website opendoorsusa.org and click on the World Watch List tab. Print that out. It lists, starting from North Korea as the worst, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, and on down, the 50 worst nations in the world in terms of the persecution of Christians. And you can pray through each one of those countries for the people who are our brothers and sisters in Christ who are potentially losing their lives or being threatened, losing their businesses, losing their homes. Pray for them during your family worship in morning, at night, whenever you happen to do that. And certainly bring this to the attention of your teaching elder, your pastor, and ask him to devote even a minute or 5 minutes to praying for the persecuted believers this very Sunday. I love what Brother Andrew said. He said, the founder of Open Doors, our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. And when we pray, we need to keep in mind some key scriptures. Matthew 5 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. John 15:19-20, if you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, says Jesus, they will also persecute you. Kevin, as we consider the very lives as we speak of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are enduring such terrible persecution in jail as Paul was when he wrote many of the letters in the New Testament, I hope we are sensitized anew to their travails. And as the Bible says, when one member suffers, the whole body suffers.
And I think people need to understand that the prayer of a righteous man does avail much. It's not as if our prayers don't accomplish something. God uses our prayers in his sovereign purposes to uphold the brothers and sisters around the world that are facing these trials and tribulations. And we need to remember that these prayers do accomplish something. To hold up the arms of our brothers and sisters, it provides something of a supernatural support of these folks who are going through such severe trials. You know, persecution is tough. We go through everyday pressures, and the pressures come from various directions. There are threats to life and limb. These folks need wisdom as to what steps to take to preserve their family, to provide, protect their lives. Should they risk this or that? Should they open their church? Should they attend church this morning, given the death threats they received in the last few days? These are the sorts of questions that go through their minds. The Apostle Paul mentioned some of the pressures that were upon him during his ministry in the second epistle to the Corinthians that we need to consider ourselves. These are difficult psychological, emotional, and spiritual pressures that descend upon these folks, and we just need to realize the faith challenge they're facing and pray that God would uphold them, would strengthen their faith, would steel their hope in that everlasting salvation that awaits us, and that they would love their persecutors, that they would pray for those who despitefully use them. These are the sorts of things that constitute the real spiritual warfare that goes on as we lift up these prayers to God this Sunday during the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church.
There is one particular prayer concern I'd like to bring to folks' attention, and that is what's happening in Sudan. We've reported on it, of course, at theworldview.com, but in Sudan, the military has now seized power, a military coup not unlike what happened in February in Myanmar, formerly named Burma. It happened on October 25th. Sudanese military seized control of the civilian-led government, arresting several government leaders in their homes, including the prime minister. This is what they're seeing on the ground. Not only are national government officials being arrested, but the government has been dissolved. So are all city governments, replaced with military leaders. The banks have stopped working. Doctors have stopped going to hospitals. for anything but critical needs. Nothing is open in the markets. We ask you to pray for Sudan, pray for the coming hours. We hope that some changes will happen in a peaceful way. We hope we will see a peaceful agreement occur. People have taken to the streets at their own risk of life and limb, and yet the military, of course, shutting it all down.
This military government in Sudan has killed between 3 and 6 million people in, I think, 5 different genocides over the last 15 years. It's probably the most severe genocide of this century. And the Chin people also facing that military government, and they are being hit hard in Myanmar right now. Reports indicate that villages are being burned down. And we have contacts that are in some of these villages. And if you do the Google map over these villages, which I did, I wanted to see, you know, where the military were burning down these churches and homes. And sure enough, this area of Myanmar is filled with evangelical churches, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches. You see them dotted throughout the landscape of Myanmar, all the way down that eastern side of or western side of Myanmar. I encourage you to take a look at the map. You can actually get right to the map and see where all the various churches are. And this is the area of Myanmar in which the military is attacking at this point. So be in prayer for Myanmar. Be in prayer for Sudan. Be in prayer for Pakistan. Don't forget there are 13-year-old Christian girls who are being kidnapped and forced into marriages with Muslim brutes. And we see all sorts of persecution like this throughout many of the Muslim countries. So be in prayer for our brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world. Again, Christians are the minority that are being persecuted more than any other religious group around the country, around the world at this point. So let's be in prayer for the persecuted church. Jesus Christ, of course, head over all things to the church. You may be asking the question, what's the basis of this persecution? Why the persecution? And ultimately, friends, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. The devil is at the source of this. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the dragon that flicks his tail and inevitably picks a fight and wars with the seed of the woman in Revelation chapter 12 and 14. And so just as it was in the Roman persecutions 2,000 years ago, we continue to see something of a demonic pushback against the Christian church. And of course, the last 150 years has been a massive increase in bringing the gospel to every tribe and nation. So the devil is not happy about this, and he's pushing back against it. But to quote Open Doors, the source of persecutions are authoritarian governments who view Christianity as a threat to power. That certainly is the place in North Korea and Eritrea, in certain communist countries. Suspicion of anything outside the majority cultural faith, that becomes an issue in India and places like that. Extremist groups who want to destroy Christians. And that's what we see with Boko Haram and the Muslims attacking Christians in Nigeria, the Middle East, and other places. Official cultural domination of a single religion. That's a problem in Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and other places. So ultimately, religious freedom is a disrespected human right in so many of these countries around the world. Freedom of religion, like all freedoms of thought and expression, is inherent. Our beliefs help define who we are and serve as a foundation for what we contribute to our societies. However, today, many people live under governments that abuse or restrict freedom of religion. Christians in such areas face persecution, suffer deeply, and are denied basic freedoms that humans should be entitled to. For instance, in Eritrea, there are violations of freedom of expression, assembly, and religious belief and movement, in addition to extrajudicial killings and forced disappearances, extended detention, torture, and indefinite national service, which causes many Eritreans to flee the country.
Kevin, I've had a chance personally to travel to some of these countries. I've been in Myanmar, I've been in China, I've been in Senegal, West Africa, which has a 96% Muslim population. Everywhere you turn, 5 times a day, they're kneeling on their prayer mats facing Mecca, bowing down with their forehead to the ground, praying to the false moon god of Allah. There is certainly a spiritual heaviness in those countries. I helped to smuggle Bibles in to China. It wasn't a real serious concern for my freedom. a white American guy is going to be let off with probably a $20 or $50 penalty. The real concern in terms of safety were for the people who were picking up those Bibles that we brought in to China. Another verse that strikes me is 1 Peter 4:12 through 14, which puts it all into perspective. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. You know what I have seen in my travels to those countries, and I traveled with them on behalf of the Bible League, looking at the need to come back as a Christian radio talk show host and raise money to send Bibles. Consistently, the thing that they have all said, those in the persecuted church that I personally spoke with, said something very strange to me, to my ears, when I first heard it. They said, we are praying for you in America to experience the same kinds of trials that we are experiencing, not because we want you to suffer, but because we want your church to grow. Our church is exploding in the underground church because it's real, because it's something where if you profess Christ, if you read your Bible, if you do anything that Christians should be doing, you will be called out, you will be held accountable, and you might even lose your life. And that's when your faith in Christ gets really real and the church becomes as vibrant as it is here in China or Myanmar or in Senegal, West Africa. And I thought that was quite revealing, don't you?
You know, it is. And I've had interaction with the persecuted saints in Nepal and several other places around the world. And it is surprising to me how joyful they could be in the persecution. They consider it pure joy when they face trials of many kinds, and they testify to the peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of these storms. And to me, that is a wonderful testimony to the worldwide church. We are benefited by these beautiful brothers and sisters that are going through such severe trials. But today, for the International Day of Prayer for the Worldwide Persecuted Church, we want to encourage you to remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. When we lean in to their persecutions, when we feel something of their sufferings, when we lift up these prayers for our brothers and sisters going through the fire, we experience something of the fellowship of these sufferings, and even more deeply, we begin to experience the fellowship of the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so let's lean into the body and let's feel the pain. Let's lift up these brothers and sisters and remember the prisoners as if chained with them, since we are in the body with them. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. Would encourage you to a number of our resources that could be helpful. Friends, Trial and Triumph is a wonderful summary of so many of the great heroes of the faith that have gone before us. It's a great read aloud for the family as well. Trial and Triumph, available at our website. And of course, Taking the World for Jesus details so many of the persecutions that led to the increase of the faith around the world. That's Taking the World for Jesus. Would recommend those resources for you on this weekend, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.